Welcome to Opening Stage VGH, the video game history podcast for everyone. My name is Dean. I'm your host for the evening, and I'm once again joined by my lovely wife, Meredith.
Hello.
We have another special guest, as is somewhat rare nowadays. Well, it is and it isn't. I should figure out a better way to introduce this. But we're still in the midst of pandemic days. It's March of 2021, and we're doing the best that we can. But anyway, we have a special guest. I think she's a published author, or I could have that wrong. But anyway, I'm going to let her go ahead and correct me on this one. We have Melissa Collings with us. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. But I have to say, incredibly offended that you don't know whether I'm a published author or not, because you should have read or listened to my short story.
Okay. Well,
which is published.
Tell us where we can find it.
You can find it on Etched Onyx Magazine. I think it's onyx.com. Etchedonyxmagazine.com. I should know that
in the show notes, right?
Yeah,
I can put that in the notes.
I never have to say it out loud. I always just copy and paste it into some sort of document. So,
well, I will give myself 30 lashes in the backyard. For not knowing that, I apologize. But anyway, as with all of the guests that we have on the show, give us your life story in the span of a tweet.
Is it okay? I prepared a few pages of notes if I just read them. I'm just kidding.
I'll let it slide this once.
Okay. Back in March of 23rd, 1986, it was a beautiful day. Spring, the birds were there. My middle name is Robin, and that's where my mom got it. Okay, I'm just kidding. Born and raised in Nashville. I've lived here all my life, went to college, got a master's of science in medicine, and am a physician assistant, and had babies 5 years ago, and stayed home and started writing. And this is how I have met your fabulous wife, Meredith, and why I'm here today through my writing adventures. That was a little longer than a tweet, but I scratched out several pages that I had prepared.
I'll let it slide this time, but thank you very much.
I can also count on one hand the amount of people I've met from Nashville who are still in Nashville. So like, congrats on that.
Thank you. I feel like it's a big thing.
I do too, honestly. Like, I was literally working at a fitness center in Nashville. It's a very swanky one. And we were going around like telling everyone who the group fitness people were and where they were from or whatever. You know, you're giving that thing about yourself. And there's one dude who's like, I'm born and raised in Nashville. And literally everyone went, oh, wow. Yeah.
That's always the reaction that I get too. It's like we're a novelty.
It is. So congrats for hanging in there. I hope that we can in 10 years say that we've hung in there.
Yes, I hope so.
Well, we'll certainly do the best that we can. Melissa, the other question that we always ask our guests is, what is your personal history with video games? And it's entirely, we have a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life. So it's entirely possible that your history with video games is very slim, and that's perfectly acceptable. So,
well, prepare to be wowed, because it is not slim. This is big deal to me. Sega Genesis. Oh yes. Oh,
okay. We're gonna have this argument.
And my two favorites, I have to talk about this. Well, no, everybody loves Sonic, right? Love Sonic.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's a classic.
But not the movie.
I never saw the movie, but it kind of looked a little bit creepy.
Well, I feel like the Sonic the Hedgehog movie that just came out, it came out like 2 years ago. But like,
I mean, we haven't had movies in a year, so just as probably like... Yeah.
There's also that, too. But like, I feel like that could almost be its own like microcosm of an episode, because like, they announced it, and they announced like they showed the Sonic that the Hedgehog that they made, and everybody was like, this is the worst terrible thing that I've ever seen. Like, this is going to give me nightmares and give me night terrors. And then, like, they delayed the movie a month so that a team of animators could go back and make him closer to the video game.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, I say that because, like, oh, yeah, that's it's like one guy in a warehouse. No, that's a bunch of Koreans in, like, an animation studio, like, painstaking over a month to make this cartoon hedgehog look more like what people think he should look like.
Because they started out, what if they start out trying to make him look like an actual hedgehog?
Closer to, I mean, like, Sonic the Hedgehog is blue and has, like, four limbs, like a human.
Yeah.
But hedgehogs aren't built that way. So, so I think it was kind of like they were trying to do like a middle ground, and then they had the guy that played Cyclops in the X-Men movies to be his like human, his human like partner, and
weird,
yeah. But apparently, Jim Carrey plays the villain, and apparently, like if you love classic Jim Carrey, like you'll love this movie.
Oh,
so.
But anyway, we're talking about Melissa's video game history.
Oh, yes. All right. Yeah, I'm
extensive. So I played, you know, not Nintendo 2, some Mortal Kombat. But okay. My favorites on Sega Genesis, Toe Jam and Earl.
I've heard extensively about that title, but I've never played it myself. I've heard it's it's not that great if you play it alone, but it's awesome if you play it with a friend.
It is. I think it's awesome if you play it alone. I still have the little sounds from that game in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But that, then the Tiny Toons Hidden Treasure Adventure, that is one of my favorite games.
Okay. I was a Nintendo kid growing up. So that's why I was like, oh, we're going to have this argument. And I remember that they did make a Tiny Toons game for the Super Nintendo that was pretty good, but it wasn't like super great.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Tiny Toons games that the Sega Genesis got, and maybe that requires a little more research on my end, but.
Yes, you should look it up. It was so fun. It was one of those that you could save, you know, your progress and come back. You had to start at the beginning of the level, but you could go through. And that was fantastic. But then another one, which is kind of cheesy, but I played a lot of Monopoly on Sega.
Hey, you got to get what you can. Like, if it's the early 90s and your parents have shelled out, like, a bunch of money for one of these game consoles, then like you'll take whatever you can get.
Yeah. But you know, recently, or not, my husband introduced me to Dr. Mario and Tetris on, I guess, was that Nintendo? On Nintendo.
Okay.
So that those are ones that I've played more recently. But yes, that is my extensive game history.
And that's fine. I feel like I should, like, there's a really good documentary about the history of Tetris, and I feel like that would be its own, like, really good episode in and of its own right.
Yes.
But, like, the guy that made Tetris, he intended it to be part of a suite of games with, like, two other programmers, and, like... But the thing about it is he and the other programmers made it during the Soviet Union's reign. And so, like, the Soviet Union came in at one point and they were like, no, 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 this isn't your game. You made it, but guess what? It's our game.
Ooh.
And so it went through a really complicated series of licensing and sub-licensing between, like, arcade rights and,
are,
like,
you talking about Tetris?
Yes.
Okay, because we watched this episode together, and I that's the only video game that I love.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, tell me that he gets some money. Like, I was like mad. And like, I have to, like, because I'm like, yes, he does. He does eventually get something, because I was like, he invented this thing that I love.
And that was one of the things about the story, is like, they get to the point where they're like, negotiate, like, one of this guy works for this American guy works for Nintendo of Japan as like a translator, and he was apparently instrumental in like negotiating the rights to the home console.
I'm just going to remind you that this is an episode, just in case.
Yeah,
we want to have another one.
We'll get there. But like, this American guy that worked for Nintendo of Japan went to like Russia to negotiate the console rights to Tetris, and at one point he suggested that the guy who made it like gets a little bit of money, and like all of the Soviet people were like, no, that is completely inappropriate, why would you suggest something like that?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And it wasn't until the guy like emigrated to America and like set up the Tetris company that he like, and it was like 23 years later, he finally saw some money.
Aww. From it.
It's a really fascinating story.
It is, though.
But it's also just really interesting just to note, like, other countries just have different value systems than we mm-hmm. are.
Yeah.
We do. Like, I just, I remember learning about the whole push the guy in front of the train scenario. Did anyone?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's a scenario where you've got a train of people, and they're going down the track, and their track isn't changing, and they're about to go off a bridge, and they're going to die. Okay. And you and your friend are standing on top of the bridge watching this, and your friend is very overweight. And if you push your friend off the bridge onto the tracks, he will stop the train, and those people will be saved, but he will die.
Oh, man.
And it's like, what do you do? Western cultures do not push their friend off.
Yeah.
Eastern cultures push their friend off.
Okay. So because
they're like, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. And it's just really fascinating to me how, and I feel like this Tetris thing is part of it. It's like, well, no, he created this for the Republic.
I see,
the Republic should get the money because it was for the Republic. Even though it was like, well, also maybe he should not be in poverty because he created a game that like everyone loves.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just, I find it just very fascinating to learn about other cultures and how they think about things. It's just a very different brain. Brain pathways are very different.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting that I intentionally chose a less heavy topic for today's discussion. And here we are talking about the really oppressive economic situation in the USSR in the late 80s.
I'm sorry. Please.
I was about to bring up
cheerful topic.
Yes. I was actually going to segue into genocide.
Okay. Da 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 da.
That is awesome.
Anyway, so why don't we go ahead and get into today's topic? Because we all have lives to get back to in quarantine. and so, like I said, I'm sure I've said this to you off camera, Melissa. Meredith knows the score by this point. I'm going to read from this book report that I've written. If you have any questions whatsoever, do not feel bad about interrupting me. Meredith won't, so you shouldn't either. Just go ahead and stop me, ask a question, and we'll go from there. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Sox the Cat was born in early 1989, based on veterinary estimates. A stray cat, He leapt into the arms of Chelsea Clinton as she was leaving a piano lesson in 1991.
I love socks. Better not kill socks.
I mean, I'm not going to kill socks.
I will be so mad, I will leave.
Oh, my. He said this was light. He said this was light. Okay, socks. Is it S-O-C-K-S, socks?
It is, like the like the garment.
Okay.
As Bill Clinton...
Not like the Chicago baseball team that everyone loves and supports.
That was the first thing that came to mind, strangely, but yes.
When I think Bill Clinton, I think Chicago. As Bill Clinton won the 1992 presidential election, Sox moved with the Clintons into the White House. He was known to share his food and water with a stray tabby named Slippers.
Wait, there's stray tabbies around the White House?
But that is adorable, Slippers and Sox.
Oh, that is cute.
My belief is that cats do not obey the laws of physics.
Right.
So, like, if there's anything that's going to slip past White House security, it's probably going to be a cat.
And his name is going to be Slippers.
Like, did they name him Slippers? They must have. Like, he was a stray?
Yeah. No, he probably had a tag that said Slippers.
What did Slippers look like? Do you know?
I don't. He was a tag.
That is bullshit! You should know what Slippers looks like!
Okay, totally. Well, there's this thing called Google Image Search.
I'm doing it.
Okay. Do it. I need to know now.
During his stay, he was appointed to the position of Chief Mouser to the Oval Office.
Wait, socks or slippers?
Socks.
Okay.
Yeah, Slippers is like gone from the rest of the story.
Oh, man, I got attached.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that is kind of bullshit. You're having me looking him up and he's gone.
You chose this. That was your choice. You're a strong, independent woman.
You drew us in with Slippers.
And you chose to look up
socks and Slippers. Even though in a human you would be appalled if someone wore socks with slippers, we're like all into socks and slippers now.
I totally need a side story on slippers. You're gonna have to find this out. You're gonna have to email it because I need to know.
All right, I'm gonna. I will do the best that I can.
He's like, get out.
Okay, before I go further, a slight content warning. There's a name of another cat coming up, which may nowadays be deemed culturally insensitive.
Okay.
So, content warning.
Before you get into this, I have to say that I've started Googling slippers, and apparently Teddy Roosevelt had a cat named Slippers.
Oh.
So finding Sox's slippers has become a little more complicated. So I'm just going to leave it there for the purposes of this podcast, because I know you didn't want to talk about White House cats. If you want me to delve into it more later, I can.
Well, that's got to be what this is about. I mean, he started the whole thing with Sox the cat.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to be here.
During his stay, he was appointed to the position of Chief Mouser to the Oval Office. Serving in the position from January 20th of 1993 through January 20th of 2001. He was preceded by Misty Malarkey Ying Yang, a Siamese cat who served during the Carter administration, and followed by India, a black cat who served during the George W. Bush administration. A cartoon version of Sox served as guide on a children's version of the White House's website.
Oh, another thing that's interesting about it is I did not know there was a children's version of the White House website.
The 90s internet is a very primordial thing.
Okay.
It's almost like chaos, but like I remember when I was very young in the 90s, and I remember watching Cartoon Network and seeing advertisements for AOL and then going up to my mom and being like, "Mom, like we need to get AOL. Because, like, Space Ghost has a thing on there. And and I really want to see that." And she was like, "You have no idea what your father does and how much that kind of thing costs. So, no, we're not going to get the thing so you can see the Cartoon Network thing." But anyway, almost as if taking after his owners, Sox was subject to some controversy during his tenure. Dan Burton, a Republican representative from Indiana, once publicly questioned the use of White House staff, postage, and stationery to respond to children's letters to Sox.
Are you kidding me? This is chill. I'm sorry. Like, hey, maybe we shouldn't lay stamps on Santa Claus. Kids are writing to Sox.
Yeah.
A stamp. Come on.
But I mean, he was like part of the staff, right? I mean,
He was a member of the House of Representatives.
No, I mean the Sox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sox served in an official capacity.
So if he served in an official capacity, so what about somebody else that's in the White House that's maybe, I don't know, what's another title of somebody in the White House?
Official dishwasher? I don't know.
Yeah, like the official dishwasher. If I wanted to send a letter, would it be appropriate to use stationery to get a reply back? Because if it's okay for somebody else, it should have been okay for Sox. He was an official guy.
I'm going to act on this, and I'm going to follow up in a future podcast episode. I'm going to try and find the most inconsequential White House staff member I can possibly find, and I'm going to write.
By the way, can you hear that
appreciation to them?
Did I shut the window?
I mean, if you feel it pertinent.
Did you hear it though?
No.
Okay, I'm going to leave it.
I closed the windows.
I like the breeze. It's in the 70s in Nashville, and it's March 11th, and I like the breeze.
Oh, yes. It's just a nice, breezy day today, too.
But I don't
want to allow you this luxury.
If it starts to disturb the podcast, let me know. I feel like that's one of those things, like, I feel like that Louisiana senator was just being a party line person, and which I think is a problem in our country, and it's like, okay.
He was probably a dog person.
He was just a dick person.
He's kind of a dog.
Like, I mean, okay. Like, what if all the letters to Santa came through the White House and it was like, we should just cut the Santa letters? Like, yeah. Really? You know? Like, Sox the cat. Come on. All right, I'll stop. Go ahead, Dean.
So, Dan Burton, a Republican representative from Indiana, once publicly questioned the use of White House staff, postage, and stationery to respond to children's letters to Sox. But Dan Brown is an anti-vaxxer who thought that passing the American with Disabilities Act would lead to sodomy and married his wife's internist after she died of breast cancer. So maybe we shouldn't listen to Dan Burton.
Okay, the truth comes out.
Go with that.
We could have just waited. Just a couple seconds and you can just scratch the whole 20-minute detour.
While Sox was the principal pet of the Clintons' first term, the cat lost the position to Buddy, a Labrador retriever, during the second.
Like, what? Sox was ousted?
Sox was no longer the principal pet of the White House during the Clintons' second term.
Just because they got a new pet?
Yep.
That's bullshit! Sox had tenure! I'm offended on his behalf! It's like, oh, you were a cool cat. You got a dog now.
There will be a turn by the end of this paragraph.
Right.
It probably had something to do with that Dan guy.
Yeah, probably. Sox was too controversial. Slippers relationships.
Sox did not take the change in position sitting down. Per Hillary Clinton, Sox, quote, despised Buddy from the first sight. Instantly and forever. End quote. As the Clintons exited the White House, Sox left in the care of Betty Curie, Bill's secretary, citing difficulties with Buddy. Buddy
they
was
gave
struck
Sox away.
He served years.
Buddy was struck and killed by a car in 2002.
Oh my God, this is all horrible. Dean.
Did Sox orchestrate this? I bet he did.
I'm not throwing that out of the realm of possibility. Like I said, Sox is a cat, and cats do not abide by the laws of physics.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I'm just glad Sox found someone to live with who appreciated him and all the work that he had done.
Well, yeah. She probably drove the car to get Buddy. I bet that was planned. Sox sounds like he had an agenda.
Yep.
Poor Sox.
Following Sox's term in office, he rarely made public appearances. He was featured as part of the Little Rock Christmas Parade in 2002.
No.
And made an appearance with Keery as guest speaker during a luncheon in 2004.
He spoke?
I mean, I don't know how much.
I just want to say that Sox lived to be 20 years old.
That's amazing.
Like, yep. That's a really long time for a cat.
That is a long time.
Are you looking up Sox, the cat?
Yes.
What am I here for? You just did the math.
You're ruining the magic.
Do you know why he died?
He died
after battling throat cancer.
I saw jaw cancer, but way to ruin this next paragraph.
Chelsea loved him, and she rescued him.
Following Sox's term in office, he rarely made public appearances. He was featured as part of a luncheon, as part of the Little Rock Christmas Parade in 2002, and made an appearance with Keery as a guest speaker during a luncheon in 2004. By June of 2008, Sox was reportedly suffering hair and weight loss, as well as kidney and thyroid complications. Sox was euthanized in January of 2009 following a brief bout with cancer of the jaw. Sox the Cat Rocks the Hill was a platforming game developed by Real Time Associates and planned to be published by Kaneko in 1993 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
And when did Sox die?
Sox died in 2009, early 2009. The game stars Sox the Cat as he rushes through various landmarks in Washington, D.C., to stop foreign spies from launching a nuclear warhead by warning the Clintons. Despite Nintendo's opposition to political statements within games, they supposedly enjoyed the satire and gave the game moderately favorable reviews. So yeah, one thing about Nintendo in the late 80s and early 90s, they really tried to be the Disney of video games in that they really wanted everything to be like family friendly, approachable by everyone, kids or adults or everything like that. And so like a game like this that kind of had a level of,
you've got a Democrat cat on there.
we'll get into the bosses of the game in just a bit. But anyway, it's kind of notable for them to like take a step back and be like, okay, yeah, this is ridiculous, and this is kind of satire, but it's kind of also really funny. So.
I'm surprised yeah. If it's a family, wanted to be family friendly, and given Sox's history being kicked out of the White House, over picked out.
I don't think he was kicked out. I think he was just like demoted from like.
Personal. I mean, that's basically being kicked out.
I mean, it's definitely. I am upset about it.
I'm gonna side with Melissa on this one because what happens in a lot of Japanese video game publishers is that, like, if somebody is a really respected video game designer and they don't meet the, like, sales projections or something that a specific video game is supposed to meet, they are gradually demoted rather than outright fired. So
it was inevitable. Not meet video game projections?
We'll get into that.
But did Buddy?
You know what? I'm going to say that Buddy didn't meet video game sales production.
I'm betting standards. Buddy didn't even get any.
I guess Buddy got what was coming to him.
Oh, I don't know. You said he was a Labrador. No, he was, what was he?
He was a Labrador retriever.
Okay. See, so. I have a soft spot for those two. But I mean, we started with Sox. I got to stay in his corner.
Sox has many tools at his disposal in thwarting the efforts of the terrorists. As a cat, he starts the game with 9 lives and has plenty of opportunities to find extras. He can attack by jumping on or scratching enemies, as well as throwing balls of yarn and distracting rats and enemies with cheese. However, many forces oppose Sox, including rats, Secret Service agents, protesters, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ross Perot, George H.W. Bush, and both Ronald and Nancy Reagan.
Oh my God.
I will say, I watched We'll get into the history of this specific game in a bit. Not to spoil anything, but this game didn't actually come out. And we'll get into the reasons for that in a bit. But I did watch a playthrough of this game. And I got to the double person boss. At first, I thought it was actually like Al and Tipper Gore. Because what it is like you get into the room where you fight the boss. And it's this guy with coiffed hair, like walking around like a zombie on the bottom portion of the stage. And there's this woman with a remote control on a platform at the top. And what you have to do is like jump off of the guy and like throw something at the girl in order to defeat the boss. And like I said, at first I thought it was Tipper and Al Gore because like at the time they were like, we should like regulate music and like what the young people listen to. But then I thought about it more and like the woman was blonde and the guy had black hair and the guy's eyes didn't really open. And like, I was like, I thought about it more and I was like, this is probably more Nancy and Ronald Reagan.
I mean, that makes sense, I guess.
Kaneko purchased the Sox the Cat license, not from the Clintons, but from the Sox the Cat fan club known as the Presidential Sox Partnership.
Oh,
the
goodness.
The profits of which were donated to the Human Society for the United States and the Children's Defense Fund, a charity favored by Hillary Clinton.
What did the charity do?
I did not Google that far.
I will Google.
Okay, you're doing a valuable service for us.
Very good.
What happened was, and you actually see this a lot if you do a lot of research into old video games, especially games that didn't come out but might have been. The video game company that was supposed to publish the game, not necessarily the developer, their North American branch closed before they could publish the game. So the game was 100% made, but they didn't have a publisher. So the game was never released.
Were there like stats on how popular the game would be?
I know that it got a review in Nintendo Power, which was the like magazine that Nintendo put out during the time. That was about it. As far as like how well the game would have sold based on that review, I don't really have a whole lot of information there.
What was the review? Did it get good reviews?
Like I said, it was moderately favorable.
Okay.
So I would say like a 6 to 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Did you play it?
I did not play it.
What
like I said,
kind of video game podcast person are you?
Okay. All right.
That's what I was thinking, but didn't want to say it.
I watched a playthrough of the game.
And?
Based on what I saw, it would not be a difficult playthrough.
Would it be fun?
If you were 6?
Okay. So
Sox
like,
wouldn't have been proud?
Who do you think would be the target audience, though, of Sox the Cat, the video game?
I would say if you were between 5 and 9 years old.
Or maybe this fan club. I mean, this fan club?
Let me preface this by saying that like I'm definitely not an expert in video game design or anything like that. I do not claim to be, but I've played enough video games in my day to know like certain things work and certain things don't. Based on what I saw of the YouTube playthrough that I watched, which I'll get into in just a second, it was a fairly rudimentary platforming game in that picture a Super Mario Brothers game, but nothing is really expounded upon. The roots of a good idea are there, but it's not really polished.
It sounds like it's a been there, done that, and somebody has already done it better.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Sad because I'm rooting for Sox's legacy. I'm also not surprised.
Well, we'll get to that in just a bit. After its cancellation due to Kaneko's North American distribution branch closing, a prototype was sold to a collector named Jason Wilson, who uploaded a 5-minute video to YouTube in 2011 to prove the game's existence. Wilson sold the prototype cartridge to another collector, Tom Curtin, for the same price as, quote, a decent used car, end quote. Curtin purchased the Sox the Cat license in 2015 and launched a Kickstarter campaign to release a physical copy of the game, which finished with 100% funding on November 8th, 2016.
All right.
The same
When did it start, the Kickstarter?
I think it started in 2015.
So it took how long to raise the money?
assuming it started in November of 2015, then it would have taken about a year.
Okay. Gives you an idea of how popular.
Yeah. Funding with, on November 8th of 2016, the same day as the 2016 presidential election in which Hillary Clinton was the Democratic nominee.
Oh, man.
The game was finally released in a physical form on February 1st of 2018.
Wow, long time coming.
Wonder how much of that was just retaliation.
So that's the story of Socks the Cat Rocks the Hill.
So what's the physical form? Can I buy a copy of this right now?
I didn't do that much research into it.
I will
get on that, Meredith. He did not.
Based on what
that's the biggest thing you need to know. I got to know now.
Based on what I know, it would be a reproduction Super Nintendo cartridge,
okay,
which I think Meredith has. If you wanted to see it,
yes, you can buy it at least on Etsy.
Okay, add it to your birthday wish list, Meredith.
I do also want to point out that, like, the ending of the game, I mentioned how it was for Socks to, like, warn the Clintons that this terrorist group was about to launch a nuclear warhead in Washington, D.C. Yeah, that's not the real ending of the game. What happens is Socks gets into the Oval Office. Bill Clinton is there. Chelsea Clinton runs
you
in.
Can also buy a little vintage Socks the Cat, like a little Socks doll for $20 on eBay.
Chelsea Clinton runs in. She has braces.
There are also Socks.
All three of them start playing the saxophone.
What? Where does that come from?
I don't know.
Wait, happened? Sorry, I was looking up Socks things. What?
Okay, so the ending of this game, it was supposed to be like Socks comes in and he warns the president that, like, this terrorist cell has nuclear warheads and they're going to blow up. Like, it's underneath the U.S. Mint and the Supreme Court and everything like that. But no, that's not what happens in the ending of the game. What happens in the ending of the game is Socks just goes into the Oval Office where Bill Clinton is. Chelsea Clinton comes in. She has braces and all three of them just start playing the saxophone.
Well, Chelsea rescued him.
Yes.
You know, that's probably some kind of signal for this mass.
Well, the saxophone was Bill Clinton's big thing.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a trigger. Like, as soon as you start playing the saxophone, it triggers like this button press somewhere else that makes this huge chain reaction. I mean, that has to be because if they just start playing the saxophone for no reason, I am less than enthused.
Is this the first video game that you have not played?
I think so.
That we are actually reviewing?
Yes, I have not actually played this game.
Wait a minute. This is a review of the game and you haven't played it?
No, I'm not reviewing it. I'm just giving a quick history about it.
That's true. It is a history podcast, not a review podcast. However,
then that's fine.
I find that it is of note that you have not played it.
I will say I listened to a video game history podcast. And that's the only reason I found out about this.
Was it one that you had pre-recorded?
No, no. It was another, it's a video game music podcast. I think I may have said video game history podcast, but that's incorrect. There's a video game music podcast that I listen to. It's called the Legacy Music Hour. And they just take turns playing video game songs that they like on it. And one of the guys played a song from this game. And he was like, yeah, it's this game based off of Socks the Cat. And everyone else was like, no, that didn't happen. That's, no. Nobody would make a video game based off of Bill Clinton's cat.
He was a very handsome cat.
What did he look like?
I will show you. He was talking. I'm going to get a picture of him.
I believe he was a tuxedo cat,
just like Jake.
But no. I think his little, just his like little like under the nose cheek tufts were white.
Oh.
And
hold on, it's giving me my video game searches. There he is. Hold on, I'm going to share my screen.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
I can't. You have to. Oh.
Oh.
You have to.
Oh.
Can you make me lose while you're recording?
No, I can't. Oh.
All right, well, I will send this to you.
Oh, yes. I'm in charge. Oh.
Oh, my God, you're such a dick. How do I send this to you? I'll send this to you through chat, and then you can share the screen.
Bear with me.
Very handsome boy. and you can pick the picture you want to show.
I will do that as soon as I can open it.
I mean, you also could have searched Sox the Cat images. By the way, while we're talking about it, things that I searched, you were also talking about the Children's Defense Fund.
Yes.
It is basically like, it's kind of a Leave No Child Behind mission. Basically, they want to ensure every child has a healthy start, and they're trying to focus on children who are poor and of color and have disabilities, and work with the federal government to advocate for federal policies that improve their lives.
Okay.
So that is what, like, in a very, very tiny, tiny nutshell. If anyone wants to learn more, just go to childrensdefensefund.org and you can find out more. But that is, in a tiny nutshell, what they are about.
I do like that even the fact that this video game never didn't officially come out until 2019, when it was developed almost 16 years prior. I do like that some money went to helping that fund.
Look at Sox.
I know.
Look, he was a shoulder cat, just like Cloud. Look at him looking at Buddy with disdain. Aw, he's such a pretty boy.
Here's a screenshot from the Sox the Cat video game.
Why is the rat, like, as big as him?
Well, it's a video game, so you have to have a certain amount of suspension of disbelief.
Okay.
He's such a cute kitty. Oh, and look, babe, scroll down a little more and you can see the Sox stuffed animal. There it is.
Oh.
Right here.
They don't have the little tuft of black, his little do you call that? That beauty mark? He's got like a beauty mark.
He's got like a slash across his nose and across his mouth.
Yeah. He's like the Julia Roberts of...
But anyway, that's about it for the almost Sox the Cat video game, which turned out to be the Sox the Cat video game.
I mean, and he's a beautiful cat. I'm glad we're appreciating him.
Yeah.
We kind of touched on this earlier in the recording, but the last few episodes have been pretty heavy. What with...
Everything.
Let's call it dolphin abuse and the up and down careers of professional athletes. So I thought we would try and do something that was a little more fun this time around.
I think it's a neat thing, this little secretive cat that nobody knew anything about, and it's one of those things where when people don't think it actually happened, I love that. When you don't know if it's real or not, it's just one of those myths, so you just debunked it.
Yeah.
And now Sox is a real thing.
There's a whole subset of like history of games that were almost released but didn't see the light of day. And then there's also getting into video games that like came out in Japan but not in America, and vice versa. So maybe that's something that we could look into in the future. But I thought this.
What was the trigger for them to? I mean, it started to come out, it didn't come out, and then it finally came out. What did you say that? Did I miss it?
I touched on it earlier. Basically, what happened is the North American publisher closed down before they could publish the game, and the game's developers were like, "Well, we gave it a good try."
But there was somebody who just said this has to go out there. Who was that again? The guy who bought it.
Yeah, what happened was they made the game. They tried to publish it, but the publisher closed before they could publish the game. So the company that made it was like, oh, well, I mean, when you take a step back, you look at it, a presidential pet's timeliness.
But they did a good GoFundMe, right?
Yes. What eventually happened was, looking back at my notes...
I remember you saying some of that, but I'm just wondering what possessed this person to start this GoFundMe account to get this? Like, they had a bee in their bonnet to say, this has got to be out there so that this cat and Chelsea and Bill can play an instrument at the end of this game.
I don't know the specifics behind what led this guy to try and preserve this portion of video game
maybe
history.
He'll find out. Maybe you can, like, maybe he'll hear this and he can tell us.
It's entirely possible. I'd love to land an interview with this guy.
I wonder if it has something to do with slippers. You know?
I would love to bring slippers back.
Slippers was
this.
Behind it.
I think so. Yeah. This guy is probably the mastermind. I mean, Slippers is probably the mastermind behind this guy who started this GoFundMe.
No, the guy who bought the game is just slippers in a robot man
suit. Yes. Yes.
But
Slippers was like, I will see Socks be in the position that Socks deserves. I don't care. I'm just a mangy stray. It's like in the Tramp, but like gritty.
I want to see like the remake of this. I want to see the movie of this that like starts off.
You should be in the position that dog has nothing on you. You will be immortal.
I want to see the movie that's made about the making of this game, where like Socks is living in a cabin up in the woods. And he's like chopping logs, and the Secret Service helicopter comes out, and the Secret Service agent comes out, and he's like, we need you to come back and finish this game. And Socks turns to him, and he's got this beard and an eye patch, and he's like, I thought I told you I was done.
And then the guy takes his face off, and it's Slippers, and he's like, listen,
we'll do it one last time.
I didn't know it was you. I couldn't believe I didn't recognize your accent.
But I guess to more closely answer your question, the thing about technology, and this is going to sound really roundabout, but I promise I'm making a point with this. The thing about technology, especially nowadays, is it progresses to such a point where something that was considered cutting edge 4 or 5 years ago is like old news. Imagine us nowadays. A year ago, we were like, wait, Zoom is the most prolific video conferencing platform ever? And then now, fast forward a year, we're like, oh yeah, I'm going to Zoom chat this guy.
Yeah.
But even then, technology was moving at a point where the new thing was on the horizon and the old thing was left in the dust. And
kind of like Socks and... Yeah.
Socks and Buddy.
Buddy, yeah.
This perfect. Is all just a metaphor, is what I'm trying to make. But there are some people out there that are dedicated to preserving, even just in a historical sense, some of the video games that, you know, some people might not have the opportunity to play, or some people might forget. Not to go on a huge tangent, but Nintendo had this thing called the Satellaview service, where they would release a video game off of a satellite link. But the thing is it partially depended on radio waves and voice actors reading things at predetermined times off of those radio waves. So like, if you didn't live in like Tokyo in like 1995, you wouldn't be able to play that video game in the way that the creators intended you to play it.
Okay.
So there are some people that are dedicated to preserving that. And I think that was kind of the situation that was going on in this guy buying this prototype Super Nintendo cartridge. I think that's something that was going on here, but I can't really say.
Okay.
Regardless, it was a really interesting trip down Socks' life.
Yeah.
It was.
Anyway, it's about time that we wrap this up. We've all got lives to go back to. I say that during the midst of a pandemic. But anyway, if you
we're
have
slowly
any...
slowly crawling out of it.
We're trying. Meredith has her vaccine date. I don't yet, because I was a little late on the
mine uptake. Is the day after my birthday, so I kind of consider it like kind of a late birthday present.
Yes.
But anyway, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, there's a number of ways to reach out to us. Excuse me, I burped a little bit. I'm an adult.
I don't think anybody noticed if you had just not said anything.
I'm going to fix it in post. There's a number of ways that you can reach out to us. You can visit us on Facebook by searching Opening Stage VGH. And our Twitter handle is @StageVGH. You can email us at OpeningStageVGH@gmail.com, or you can call or text us at area code 615-933-3453. Melissa, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, sure. Why not? If you want to know more about me, you can check out my blog at thewordportrait@wordpress.com. Or if you want to read something that I have written, you can go to onyxpublications.com and listen to Just Start. Or if you just want to hear more of my voice, I've narrated a bunch of the stories on this magazine and podcast, so on Onyx.
You do have a very nice voice.
Oh, thank you much.
it might have been one of the leading factors to me to ask you onto the podcast. So,
oh well, that's just fine. You listen away.
Meredith, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
I am still blogging away at Meredith Rae, R-A-E, Lyons, L-Y, .com/faster. More to come, hopefully.
You just got on Twitter, didn't you?
I did get on Twitter, and I feel like I'm not very interesting on there, although I try to be. So I would enjoy people if they want to follow me. Meredith R. Lyons is my handle. It's really easy. I'm actually the same on Instagram. And I do think that I post much more interesting things on Instagram if you are interested.
You should link them. Do you link them? Instagram to Twitter?
I haven't even delved. I should do that.
I'll show you how to do it.
Okay. Yeah, everyone's just going to show me how to do my socials. I'm you guys, I've got a birthday coming up, and I'm going to be middle-aged.
Oh, how old are you?
Not in my heart.
I was born in 1978, and my birthday is March 16th. It's crazy. I don't feel that old, but my body every now and then reminds me. I feel much younger. I feel 10 years younger.
You look like you're 10 years younger than me. What?
Dean said something, and I think it's because he has a little premature gray, and Dean is 10 years younger than me. So.
Oh, really? I thought you were 48 or something, Dean.
See, so people often. People often think Dean is older than me, and I think it's just because of the gray. But babe, yeah. It's okay because everyone thinks older guys are rakish and cool. Anyway, I won't get into gonna shut down the women's lib speech now. It's not what this is about. Thanks
for listening.
Okay,
I'm gonna cut this out. Thank you so much for listening today. This has been Opening Stage VGH, the video game podcast for everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
But he basically only extracts the audio files, but we find that it's just more fun to see each other.
Yeah.
So if you're nodding along or something, realize that I'm on radio and I should say yes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Otherwise, I am very good because I was a radio DJ at one point. No, I am very good at being
I know this.
It was in college, but I was very good at being I'm very good at being Melissa is nodding her head right now, or Melissa is covering her face right now.
Imagine you're me, and it's 10 years ago, and you just met this absolute poem of a woman, and she's yeah, I'm an actor, and I really want to not write a novel someday, and I was a radio DJ for some time, and I'm really good at punching people, and...
This is all not what I've said.
No, I'm singing your praises, but
as well, they are to be sung.
I was a little worried for a month, is what I'm saying.
You're worried why?
There's no way. This woman is way out of my league. There's no way. This will work out.
She totally is.
She is. It's not a secret.
I love you. And
I'm 32 years old and I have a video game history podcast. You're anyway.
No, you're both great.
I get the job.
Meredith, I love awesome. You. Stop it. Let's just do your thing, the thing that makes you happy.
All right.
Wait, can you hear Melissa okay?
Yeah, I can hear Melissa great. Can you hear the two of us?
How are you? Dean, are you trying to record right now?
I am recording right now, yes.
Oh, so it's working!
That's what the thing at the top of my screen says.
Oh, it does! It does say recording! Okay, so this is not like the last time. We're good to go.
It's got the little red light that's beeping.
Yep, I see it. Did that not happen last time?
I don't remember. I think last time we we got like halfway through the episode, and again, because of the different internet provider, it just like wouldn't work sometimes. And so we decided like, okay, something happened, so Meredith, just to be safe, can you record it on your end?
All right, but you think we're good?
I think we're good.
All right. Take it away, Maestro.
So, Melissa, have you ever seen Wayne's World?
No, I have not.
Wayne's World! Party time!
No, I've heard of it.
Okay.
It's like a cartoon with bunnies, right? I'm just kidding. I know that's a serious drama, right?
No.
I mean, I know that it is.
My stars and garters.
Great show. Love it.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going
to. Melissa, were you alive in the 90s?
What? Was I alive? Of course I was alive. I was.
What did you like in the 90s?
I don't know. That was so long ago. I don't remember back that far.
Really?
Yes. I'm not good at remembering things. I mean, if you start talking about something, then I can jump in and be like, yeah, I love that too. Like Wayne's World, you know? Yeah, I did. I didn't watch it much, but it was a thing, you know, that was going on. You saw the action figures.
So you know about the Ninja Turtles, but you don't know about Wayne's World.
I've heard of Wayne's World. I really have, but I'm not exactly sure what it is.
As a side note, they made a Wayne's World video game, and it's awful.
I would not expect that to be good.
It was, imagine Bohemian Rhapsody, but everything about it you hate.
Melissa, do you know what Bohemian Rhapsody is?
I think so. That's that song, isn't it?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening.
Yeah.
I had to make sure.
I'm so uneducated, you guys. This is going to be the worst.
This is going to be great.
It's funny that you're talking about like things from the 90s that you remember, because that kind of comes into what we're going to talk about today. And that's all I'm going to say.
I'm ready.
Does that sound better, Meredith?
Yeah, I was trying to, like, be discreet, but, like, Dean really needs the microphone closer to his face.
Okay.
So just swallow it.
All right. So what I'm going to do, this is a huge roundabout thing. I'm going to count down on my hand from 5, but I'm only going to voice 5 through 3.
Oh, I thought you were going to, like, everything we just said is fucking gold. You should absolutely at least put it at the end.
I'll see. Yeah, I'll see.
Beginning.
We could do like a Marvel after the credits kind of thing with that.
Okay.
So,
love it.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, keep the microphone up there because.
Okay. I will do my best.
Thank you. And right. If I do this, know what I'm trying to do.
It means nasal cannula.
Being a candle.
Grab your nasal
cannula. It smells great.
That could be sexy.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Dean.
Let's get this dance party a-dancing. All right, we're going to start in 5, 4, 3. Welcome to Opening Stage VGH, the video game history podcast for everyone. My name is Dean. I'm your host for the evening, and I'm once again...